GTR listeners, the official Gamertag Radio store is now open on TeePublic. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Represent us. You could buy t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, posters, stickers, and much, much more. We are planning to add more designs coming very soon to the store, but as of right now, we have a couple of designs available now, like I Love Gaming and the GTR Gamertag Radio logo and so on. It's pretty cool. So go right now to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 759. This is your host Danny speaking here, and also joining us this week, we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew. Welcome back, Paris.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How you guys doing?
Yeah, good morning, man. How's everything with you, man?
Hey, it's pretty good. First week on a new job, so, you know, went through that whole process. So it's pretty good. Pretty good going into week two now. And just, you know, the adjustment with the schedule, that's kind of been the biggest thing. Just got to get used to that. But overall, everything's good.
Cool, man. And also joining us, Pete.
What is up? Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Everything is good, man.
Good, good. Got a new puppers in the house, so we're going through the struggle of, you know, correction and trying to get him to not piss on everything.
What's his name?
We don't have a name yet. So he's a 2-year-old rescue, and he's white and black. Kind of looks like a border collie / Jack Russell Terrier. Very, very smart dog. Looks a little skittish. He's from Puerto Rico, apparently. So shout out to our Puerto Rocks out in the world.
Dope.
Yeah. Dope. I don't know how Mayday is really taking to him. He's kind of avoiding him and like ignoring him. Like he's a puppy, so he wants to play, and Mayday wants nothing to do with it. So yeah. You know,
he knows he's gonna get all the attention though.
Yeah, yeah. So. I mean, aside from that, it's fine. I mean, it's fun. He's a puppy, you know, and that whole thing. So looking forward to it. If you ask me, I think I want to name him Pandem, short for Pandemonium, because we have got Mayday and then Pandemonium. He's all white and black. So the other option is maybe Domino, because you know, obviously comic book character, Domino. The whole nine. But yeah, yeah. We'll see. Yeah. Let the kids decide.
Dope, man. Cool, cool. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, share with your friends, let other people know about the podcast. Also, you can find us on different podcast platforms. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so big news here, man. God of War sells over 3.1 million units in just 3 days. Congratulations to the whole team over there at Santa Monica. It becomes the fastest selling PlayStation 4 game exclusive ever. Your thoughts about this, man? Because I'm having a freaking blast with this game, man. It's going to be pretty hard to top this, man. This game is legit.
I'll say this, because I think over the last couple of weeks, you know, just with me traveling and just other things going on, we haven't really talked about God of War that much. And obviously, I don't want to go into any spoilers on here, but mm-hmm. I'll just say that for me, and I tweeted this out, as we sit here right now on May 6th, 2018, it is the clear leader for game of the year right now. For the games that have come out this year so far, nothing comes close to this. It is without a doubt the best game I've played in 2018, and I'll even compare it to the Murderer's Row from 2017. It is right up there too. If this game would have come out last year, it would have been a contender for game of the year. That's how good this game has been, and it is quite the achievement for Sony Santa Monica, what they've been able to do with Kratos and just reinvent him almost on the fly. And he's the Kratos we know, but at the same time, with the way the gameplay is, with the story that they're telling, this whole father-son dynamic, it's fantastic. It's without question the best story they've ever done in God of War. I mean, that just goes without saying. But I love the gameplay mechanics that they've added into it. They've simplified it in a way, but they've made it more complex at the same time, if that makes sense. And then, like I said, when you add in his son and just the story that they have together, using his son in the gameplay as well, just changing, and just some of the boss battles that you have, it's freaking phenomenal. It's like, look, we know visually it is eye candy. Take that out. Doesn't even matter. Gameplay, story is absolute top-notch, AAA title coming out of Sony Santa Monica. You know, props to PlayStation, props to everything that they've done as a publisher and as a studio with this game, and they've set the bar now. The bar has been raised when we talk just, you know, exclusive titles, because this is one of the best games I've ever played. I cannot stress that enough, and I am not shocked at all. If anything, I'm surprised it's only sold 3 million so far. It's not sold even more. I think as the word of mouth gets out about God of War throughout the summer, because I'm pretty sure even at E3, they're still going to be talking about God of War. So as the word of mouth goes through the summer, I expect sales to actually increase and not decrease. You know, it's not going to be a Grand Theft Auto 5 situation where the damn game is going to be selling for like 10 years straight, but it's going to, and when the dust settles, it's going to be one of the highest selling PlayStation exclusive games that we'll see on the PlayStation 4 platform. And like I said, hey, Spider-Man, Red Dead, and anything else that's coming out the rest of this year, you better step your game up, because this right now is the game of the year for me, without question.
What about you, Pete?
I don't even know if I can say it any better than that. I mean, obviously, you know, I spend most of my time playing shooters and anything else called PUBG, but I make sure that I dedicate time going back on over to the Sony PlayStation, play me some God of War, which is, I don't want to say it's awkward or weird. It's, I'm actually glad that it's given me a respite from the kind of, rhythm that I've gotten with it. It's just playing PUBG, plus just playing, you know, shooters, you know, Far Cry 5 and all that. But it's such a different twist, because it's not your average. And I guess you could say it's almost a typical God of War game, because you have those puzzles where you've got to do your shield stuff. If you want to try to get the three runes to unlock those, though, that has become kind of like my thing. Like, I find those, and then I don't stop playing until I actually get those three, you know, those three runes. Those have kind of become like my quest. I want to find all of them, those and the Eyes of Odin and such like that. And like Paris, we don't want to go into a thing, but man, it's such a refreshing experience to play a game like that. And again, the inclusion of Atreus, or boy, because that's all you hear. You know, watching him grow up as a child throughout that game, watching him grow up and understanding at times why Kratos treats him the way he does. And on the converse, sometimes seeing his frustration at the way Kratos treats him. It's fun seeing that dynamic of Atreus, because you almost see him grow up in front of your eyes. I probably say I'm maybe 30 to 40% of the game. I'm taking my time, I'm slow crawling through it. But man, it's just so much fun to play the game. Hell, I even had the wife come in here, and she was like, I might want to play this after you. So I mean, anything to get my wife in here and play video games is a lot more fun too.
Well, I know this is one of the topics that we have for the show, about Tomb Raider, because it's kind of similar to
the way
how you
play. You just moved on and didn't have no comment, huh?
Yeah. No. It's part of the conversation about the puzzles and the story, kind of like when it comes to like God of War and Tomb Raider. That's why I'm bringing it up, because in a recent interview, one of the developers said that the game, the new Shadow of the Tomb Raider, won't have no trial and error puzzles in the game, which is kind of like a letdown, because that's the thing that I love about God of War is, yes, the game has puzzles, but it, to me, it's not complicated. It's not frustrating, right? But it feels great once you like solve the puzzles and everything, right? But, you know, for a developer not, I mean, removing one of the parts that I love about Tomb Raider and also God of War, they're removing it in the game. What are your thoughts about that? Do you think that's going to affect the game overall because of the changes that they're making?
Hard to say. Hard to say until you actually play the game. Maybe they have a unique take on the gameplay that they didn't want the trial and error puzzle things, you know, because maybe Tomb Raider's taking this version of Tomb Raider's taking a different slant on the genre, on the gameplay. Maybe it's going to be more survivalist versus like you're saying, trial and error. So if you make a mistake, you pay for said mistake, you know, and you don't get to just have a simple redo of it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to punish them for taking in a different direction, because, you know, as we've played two versions of this Tomb Raider already, maybe they want to try something new. I'd rather them take a risk and try something different to just keep doing the same damn thing over and over for three straight games. You know what I'm saying? So I'm waiting to see on it. And I know there was an event, people got to play it, and obviously there's NDAs and all that, so they can't talk too much about it. But people have had hands on with it, and just the limited amount of feedback so far has been high praise. So like I said, I'm willing to give it a shot.
So I think it helps to explain why, according to the gameplay director, and I'm going to paraphrase what he says. So best game that's probably synonymous to something like this, Uncharted 4, or actually a lot of the parts of Uncharted where you've got those trailers where you have to jump and, you know, traverse parts of the game. And if you fail, you die and you get back to the beginning. You have to start it all over again. It kind of removes the ebb and flow of how the game goes. A great example, I guess, in the way to tie this back to God of War, like I said, is the shield runes, where you're trying to hit the three runes in a specific order or get them in a timed manner to unlock a special chest, which is what they want to do. They want you to tinker around and manipulate other parts of the game in order to allow you to advance. And so that's more of the trial and error component that they're trying to go for, as opposed to a, you know, try to get to from point A to point B without dying. And if you die, you know, you got to restart and go all the way back. And it makes sense. I guess it's just the progression / maturity of the developers to stop that, I guess, lazy mechanic of getting from point A to point B while adding that puzzle mechanic. So, you know, I'm fine with it, honestly, because like I was saying, I think it takes you out of the game, and it stops the flow of what you're experiencing. So I'm okay with it. Again, we need to see it and experience it firsthand before we can really talk about it. But I think it's fine.
Yeah, hopefully you get to see it at E3, and we'll see what happens from there, man. But I just want to say that because I really love that part about Tomb Raider and also now God of War. And honestly, speaking of Uncharted, like to me, my favorite Uncharted so far has always been Uncharted 2. 4, I think it was good, better than 3 in my opinion, but something about 4, it's not close enough like 2. 2 to me was like, it was like a very special game, man, you know? So we'll see what happens once the game comes out and so on. We'll see. By the way, so Activision Blizzard president had a conference earning call a couple of days ago, and I know there were, you know, top conversations about, you know, situations going on now with Fortnite. You know, it's getting a big buzz, it's making a lot of money and all this stuff, and the rumor of Call of Duty, the new Call of Duty Black Ops 4, that might have also Battle Royale. You know, compared to Fortnite's a free game and they're making crazy money, right? So the conversation came up about $60 games, and the Activision Blizzard president said that $60 games are here to stay. They don't see this going away anytime soon. He says that right now, today, we have a full range of business models free to play subscription, upfront payments, downloadable content packs, ongoing microtransactions. All these to say that at a scale, we do believe that $60 games will continue. Now, if Treyarch and Activision do announce a brand new Battle Royale feature that's coming out for the new Call of Duty, it affected kind of the also Battlegrounds Unknown. Ever since Fortnite added this new Battle Royale for totally for free, it kind of hurt Battlegrounds, right? Do you think it's going to hurt Call of Duty because of this new business model? Instead of people paying $60, they might as well just go to the free route. What are your thoughts on that?
I think, and again, we'll see on the 17th when we go to that event, but I think it all depends on what the strategy, what is this BR mode going to be, first of all? I think a blatant ripoff of Fortnite isn't going to work. They're going to have to do something different, first and foremost. But the core of Call of Duty is that multiplayer, right? As long as that is intact and what we expect it to be, and if they beef up the zombie mode, those two components alone could justify them still charging you $60 for Call of Duty. It just is. I know there was outrage on Twitter, big shocker this week, about Black Ops 4. People, oh, it's going to suck. It's going to suck. And it's like, you don't know. You have no idea. Give Treyarch the courtesy of at least showing you the damn game before you start saying it's going to be terrible. Because we just don't know. We have no idea what it's going to be. So with that, in that regard, let's see what the Battle Royale mode is going to be first. But like I said, if the multiplayer mode and the zombie mode is what we expect it to be, and like I said, they probably got to bump up the zombie mode a little more, that alone can still justify $60. Then you throw in the Battle Royale mode. Maybe they kind of adopt the Fortnite model of, yeah, you can purchase optional things to improve yourself. And because, again, that's obviously Fortnite's business model, how they're making hand over fist right now, you know, money wise. But maybe that happens. Like, look, I'm actually very excited for the 17th because I'm pretty sure they're going to show us this Battle Royale mode. I'm very excited to play it. I want to see what it's going to be. What is Activision going to do to compete with Epic and PlayerUnknown? I want to see, personally. So is it going to be great? Don't know. I hope it is. If it isn't, I will be one of the... I just like last year when I was at the Destiny thing, I'm like, I don't know about this. I will be immediate to say that if I don't think it's going to work. But I'm willing to give it a shot. I want to see. So, but going back to the original thing that you're saying about $60 games are here to stay. Again, of course it is. Look at God of War. God of War just showed you once again, you don't need extra multiplayer modes and all this frivolous stuff. If you give me a solid single player campaign, that justifies $60. And on the flip side, I do think if you give me a solid enough multiplayer mode that is going to entertain me for hundreds of hours, that alone justifies $60 as well. So now, of course, that to me, $60 is just kind of the base model for gaming right now. Sure, you're going to have extremes like Fortnite, which can be free to play. You're going to have other extremes where, what is it, like State of Decay is coming in at like $40 or something like that, right? So, of course, there's still going to be different skews in the pricing model. But for the average game to be $60, I don't see that changing anytime soon. And as we know, a lot of that stuff is going to be augmented with, you know, DLC and microtransactions and things like that. Unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast in today's gaming market. So it is what it is. I've talked too much. I'll be quiet.
Well, think about it. $15 or $60 has been the business model for 15 plus years now for full size games. You have, like Paris said, you have the outliers, like the $30 for PUBG, $30 or whatever it's going to be for State of Decay 2. Overwatch, you know, we're talking about Activision Blizzard. They launched, it was $60 for console, but it was $40 for PC, you know, showing preference to the PC market. And even going back further along the Battle Royale train, there was rumors last year of Overwatch contemplating a Battle Royale mode. So I don't see $60 being an issue, considering we as a consumer base are so accustomed to that price point. If they change it, obviously going upwards, because you never see prices going down for something like this. you might, that it would be the same thing as if 15 plus years ago, when they changed the prices to, from $50 to $60, you might see that same kind of uproar. I think the big thing is, as long as you're providing content that's consummate to what players perceive as a $60 price point, as long as they feel that they're getting their money's worth or their return on investment, then I think it's fine. And obviously, when you have games like Fortnite at free to play, they have to do those extra steps just to be able to stop being in the in the red and going into the black and, you know, positive, you know, possibly green if possible. So I don't see an issue with it, again, as long as the content is consonant to what they're getting, to what you're getting as a consumer.
I know the conversation that one of our listeners brought up on Twitter, and I believe also we got a call, same conversation about this, that, you know, that it's going to hurt the sales because Activision removed the single player part of the game. And honestly, I think Call of Duty, no matter what, is going to sell, right? There's a reason why Activision removed this. Based on data, they noticed that more people are just playing the multiplayer instead of the single player. Then why, business-wise, like why are they going to focus on creating a game that not that many people are playing? They'd rather invest on new things that's going to make them even more money. And a perfect example, look at Fortnite. The majority of people that are playing Fortnite, they don't even bother with the campaign. I think the campaign is just there as a, like, extra, in my opinion. But Battle Royale is where it's at. So it makes sense for a company to invest more on just the multiplayer side because it's working for them, right? So, but I know the conversation, too, that I remember I was in line with Paris, and this was at Call of Duty XP a couple years ago. We were there, and there was people behind us talking about Call of Duty, and that's it. That's all they know. All they play was just Call of Duty. So the company is going to make a lot of money, man. I think, man, you know, even with this major, major change, I think they're probably going to make even more money because it's something totally new for Call of Duty. A lot of the fans that haven't played Call of Duty in a long time, they're going to go and buy this just because of that, I think, you know. So what do you guys think about that?
I was dying laughing while you were talking, because right when Pete finished talking, he basically did the Kermit the Frog meme. It was like, but that's none of my business. Took a sip and it was a Call of Duty cup. I'm like, oh, he's shilling for Call of Duty.
I didn't notice.
No, but what you're saying is right. I mean, that's
yeah.
And that Twitter conversation and some other Twitter conversations that were going on last week was just so frustrating, because you have to give change a shot before you instantly outrage. Oh my God, this is going to be a fail. This is not going to work because it's not what I'm used to. Give it a chance. Not saying it's going to work. Mm-hmm. It could be a disaster. We don't know. But let's give it a shot first.
Exactly.
Wait until the 17th, until you see what the roadmap is for Black Ops 4, before you get outraged that they don't have a campaign. Again, real talk, I have not completed a Call of Duty campaign probably since Modern Warfare 3. If I play Call of Duty, it's because I want to play multiplayer. It ain't for the damn campaign, because to me, the campaign is just the same thing over and over again. It's not something that intrigues me to want to start and play to completion. I've played Black Ops. I've played Black Ops 2. I've dipped my toe into the campaign over the past few years, but I instantly get bored because I'm like, this is the same thing again. I might as well just go play multiplayer. That's usually what happens. So I understand that, and again, all rumor and speculation, Treyarch was working on a campaign. They couldn't get it done in time, so they pivoted at some point, and this is what we're going to get. Let's see what it is. That's all I'm saying. Maybe on May 18th, we're all on here just bitching and complaining. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm willing to at least give them the chance to show me. And I'll turn this on the opposite standpoint. Again, it is literally a year to the day at the same location as that Destiny 2 reveal I went to last year. I went into that complete blind faith to what they were doing. Yep, this is going to be great. Oh, can't wait. You know, even though I was skeptical on them going to the four-play multiplayer and some of the changes, I was still willing to give them the benefit of the doubt when the game came out, right? So I was just sipping the Kool-Aid. Now it's the opposite where I'm trying to say I've learned my lesson on that. Don't go by what you just see. Wait until you are actually playing the game and you understand what it is that they're trying to do versus going off of rumor and speculation, because you just don't know. You don't know until you actually play the game. You know, wait, again, let's bring a full circle back to God of War. Did anyone expect God of War to be what we're playing right now? You didn't know until you actually played it, right? And then you're like, oh my God, this is freaking amazing. We didn't know, you know, and now we do. So again, every situation is different. You just don't know. So like I said, I'm saying this now. In a week, I could be yelling and screaming that, oh my God, this Battle Royale is a freaking disaster. What were they thinking? I don't know. Or I could be going, man, I played it. It's freaking awesome. Get ready. Fortnite, player unknown, you got competition. Which I hope that's the case, because competition makes everything better.
I think that, you know, it feels like that Treyarch and Activision, they seem confident, because if they're going to have an event like this, maybe they're confident that this is going to be big for them. We'll see.
And that's still an unknown. You don't even know what they're going to be showing you. They may just show you more of the multiplayer and maybe withhold the battle royale stuff.
I don't think for they can, E3. I don't think they can, though. They can't assemble, because this is like the quote unquote community reveal event. They can't assemble everyone into the Jet Center here in LA and then hold back the biggest rumored mode that they're going to have. If anything, I could see them not showing us a lot with multiplayer and actually focus everything around the Battle Royale mode, because that's the unknown. I mean, they could go on stage and say, hey, that multiplayer, it's going to be everything that you've always come to expect, blah, blah, blah. Here's X amount of modes. But today, when this is over, walk over into the next room. Now you can get hands on with the Battle Royale mode. Think about it. Every interview that's going to happen at that event is going to be about that damn mode. It ain't going to be about the multiplayer. It's going to be about the Battle Royale mode. So I would be shocked if we didn't get hands on with it, because if they didn't, that's just going to fuel the speculation that it's not going to be good. So they got to show it off at this event. They got to get people excited about it, and then just funnel that excitement into what we'll have at E3, in my opinion. Because, you know, we're real one last thing.
Sure.
Because like Danny and I have talked about this offline, typically would Call of Duty, the big multiplayer reveal usually doesn't happen until the end of the summer, where they do like a beta, there's like an event around it, all that kind of stuff. I would imagine they'd stick to that versus changing it and doing everything about multiplayer right now, because they're going to want, you know, basically the media and select, you know, influencers to go to an event, play the multiplayer, talk about it. And then like a week or so later, they have their quote unquote beta, you know, like they traditionally have done over the past few years, to let everyone get hands on with it leading into launch. So that would be my guess. Who knows? Could be completely wrong on that, and I show everything.
The reason I wanted to counter that is because wouldn't you want your biggest reveals to have the biggest audience, which would be E3, because you're going to have every single outlet, every single community group at E3, as opposed to a small select group.
That's not coming what in this there. Is going to be. But I'm getting, because I was telling Danny, they're literally doing it at the same place the Destiny reveal was. So that tells me they're bringing in everybody, because look, I was at that Destiny event with 500 of my closest friends, because they brought in all the media, all the community influencers, everyone was there. So I'm assuming, matter of fact, you know, for those that are on Twitch, this is the thing that they gave us. This is very similar to what we got for Destiny, because it's a community reveal event. So this is going to be a what's the word I'm looking for? This is going to be a huge celebration of the game. They want the community there, not just the media, because they want everybody talking about it. So trust me, if it goes the way I think it's going to go, because I have no idea, they're going to bring us into that hangar. They're going to have that big open space where we all sat, and then Bobby Kotick and everyone else is going to come out, Treyarch. They're going to show off the game, talk about it. And then when that's done, they're going to say, now go walk to the back and have hands on with it. And they had hundreds of stations open. So you had hands on all day. Interviews were going on all day. And this is the big thing. In my opinion, this would be bigger than what they do at E3, because they control the media cycle for that day, for that week. Yep. There's no other competition around them. So it would make sense that they do this to show everything off versus wait till E3. In my opinion, could be wrong. I don't know.
No, it makes sense, Paris. Also, they could also let the public, whoever attends E3, they could actually play at E3 because everybody's excited and pumped. And then down later in the summer, then they could start talking about the regular multiplayer and also show zombies. And so they're going to have content for people to talk about, even from the community and also for the media. They're going to talk about all summer long until it comes out. They're going to do fine, man. They're going to do fine. You know, so now I just hope that it's not the same thing that you go and there's 100 people and only one person can survive. I hope they show new things that we haven't seen before, because that's the thing that I'm a little bit worried about E3, that everybody is going to have this freaking mode. It's similar to a couple years ago that everything was about VR this, VR that. This year is going to be about Battle Royale.
Oh yeah.
E3 2018 Battle Royale.
Cuz I'm pretty sure whatever the Division 2 winds up being, they're going to have some form of a Battle Royale mode too. There's going to be other it's going to happen. Like I've been saying this already, E3 is just going to, everything's going to be VR. Everything, because that's the hotness right now. I mean, when you look at what Epic is doing with Fortnite, you're like, these dudes are making a lot of money. We want to make a lot of money too. Let's copy what they do. So it's going to happen. It just is.
All right, so we'll be right back. We're going to take a short break here. And once we come back, we have more topics to talk about. And also later on, fan mail and the return of Miss Leo. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have a brand new sponsor for this episode, 759, and a brand new sponsor, right, Paris?
Yes. And I want to thank Keeps. Keeps is designed for guys who want to stop hair loss with their scientific and affordable approach. Manage entirely on Keeps.com. Keeps is the easiest way to stop hair loss before it's too late. So here's the thing. Again, we want to thank Keeps for being a new sponsor. And I volunteered. As you know, I am follically challenged when it comes to having hair on the top of my head. So I figured, why not? Let's try out Keeps. Let's see how it works. You know, they sent me over the package and Keeps. Let's just get into it real quick. They have two FDA-approved hair loss products, which can help you keep the hair that you already have. You know, so like they say, you know, average guy out there, you might have noticed you've had some hair loss over the years and you're trying to figure out, what can I do about it? What's a real solution? So again, Keeps has two clinically proven medications that let you keep the hair that you already have, and it's inexpensive and it's very easy to get. So there's no need for additional hair loss. And with Keeps, for 5 minutes now and just $1 a day, you'll never have to worry about hair loss again. So again, Keeps, it's very easy. Go to Keeps.com. It's an easy sign up. Takes you about 5 minutes. I did it personally. You'll take some photos of your head, you know, like the top, on the sides, everything. You're going to send it in and you're actually going to have a doctor give you an evaluation on it. And then they're going to send you over the two medications that you can use to prevent hair loss. Keeps is only $10 to $35 a month. Plus, right now, you can get the first month free, which is a hell of a deal. Now, Danny.
Woo.
What do you think about this? Am I crazy for trying to save the hair that I got, or should I just give up and let it all go? What do you think?
You can't give up, Paris. You can't give up.
Yeah.
Right. Look, and right now this is totally free, right? I could go to the website right now. What's the URL?
So the URL Keeps for us to help us out.
Yeah.
Go to keeps.com/GTR. That is KEEPS.com/GTR, and you will get a free month of treatment. So again, keeps.com/GTR. Keeps your hair today, tomorrow, and forever.
All right, so we're back here, Gamer Tag Radio, episode 759, and you know, we have the whole crew. We had a great conversation about Call of Duty, God of War, and so on. But now I think it's super important for us to talk about our first E3 predictions. And for those that listen to the show, the return of Miss Leo. Miss Leo, go for it.
Hey, Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Now, I can usually tell you things about your future by using the power of my tarot cards. But when it comes to video games, only the guys at Gamertag Radio can give you the E3 predictions. You hear me?
All right, Paris, Pete, we have two options. I think we should start small, and then later this month, you know, we talk about the big three, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft. But I think we should start small. So which one should we should start first, EA or Ubisoft?
EA.
All right, let's go with EA. Pete, you're fine with that, with EA?
Not a problem. Let's go. Let's do it.
All right. All right. So our first Miss Lear prediction, EA. Who would like to go first?
I think I'll take this one. I think we see gameplay of Anthem. I think it's going to be somewhat playable on the show floor. I think we're gonna follow up on the reveal or the rumor reveal from 2 weeks ago. We're gonna see a battle royale mode for Battlefield 5. I think we're going to see the normal Madden / FIFA. I think that's it. I think for now, I think it's going to be EA Play, obviously related. But I think that's what we're going to see. Maybe a UFC game.
Okay. Paris, you would like to go? Or you want me to go?
Yeah, I can go. To add on to what Pete said, because okay. I agree, Battlefield 5, we're going to see some kind of battle royale mode. It's just going to happen. But I also think that Vince Zampella is going to stand on that stage at EA Play and they're going to show off. Respawn is going to show off, not just, is this a tease? They're going to show off the Star Wars game. Just a tease. I don't think that it works. Comes this year. It may not even come in 2019. It might be a 2020 game, but I think we at least start that conversation that exists. Now, with that said, I don't think that's the only thing Star Wars related that they're going to show. I don't know which studio in EA. I'm going to say it's not going to be BioWare because I think all hands are on deck for Anthem. But there's going to be a second Star Wars game that they're going to show. I don't think it'll be Battlefront 3 because it's way too early for that. But there's going to be two Star Wars IPs that are going to be showing off at EA Play. Respawn game and another game. Maybe, fingers crossed, please, baby Jesus, make it happen. An RPG Star Wars game. I would absolutely love. Not necessarily KOTOR, but just something RPG related with Star Wars. I would love to see that as well. Like I said, I already said the Battlefield 5 reveal, obviously. Yeah. To me, that's just a no-brainer. We're going to see that. Anthem, they're going to put a date on it. I'm expecting it to be in March 2019. Like Pete said, full hands-on reveal of that. I think it's going to wow us. And I say that because it has to. Because if it doesn't, if Anthem comes in lukewarm out of EA Play, it's DOA. It just is. There's just too much competition out there. I mean, we see Bungie, all the struggles that Bungie's had with Destiny 2. They're starting to get those things fixed. We know the Division 2 is coming. I'm highly anticipating that. Anthem being the unknown right now has to shine at EA Play. It has to be phenomenal. They have to show off, okay, we got a full-fledged story for you. We have, here's all the cooperative modes that we're going to have. Here's our version of the raid. Because I'm going to tell you right now, be it Division, Anthem, anything that's going to compete to what Destiny's doing in this shared shooter space, better have that huge cooperative in-game activity. Because if you don't, you're just not going to compete, in my opinion. They better show a lot of things to do in the in-game, be it cooperative or single player or multiplayer. Again, that's another big one. We have no idea what the multiplayer mode is going to be for Anthem. So we need to see that in action as well. So it's going to be a huge EA Play. I keep wanting to say E3. EA Play for Anthem and BioWare, because like I said, Casey is back. Save us all. Help, please make it the best game it possibly could be, because I want it to be great and I want to come out of E3 super excited about it.
Well, here's another prediction. I totally agree with Paris about Star Wars. They're probably going to show like a little sneak peek, you know, what's coming and so on. But also, this is going to be a crazy prediction here, but You know, I know, was it 2 years ago or so, they teased about a new Mirror's Edge, right? And they brought it back and so on. And it wasn't a huge success once the game came out. But I think it's possible that we might see an announcement of an old game that might return for EA.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to throw out Battletoads again.
No. But I think, first of all, that's a Microsoft thing. That's not no EA, Pete. But I think, what if they go on stage and they show the return of Skate? It's been a game that the community has been requesting for years. And I know that even trended on Twitter, because I think one of the employees put hashtag Skate 4, and everybody was going crazy. It was trending and all this stuff that the EA employee was like, no, I was just like you guys. I was just, just hype about it. Hope they could bring it back. But I'm not saying it wasn't an announcement, but people thought it was an announcement that all the media was talking about it. So I have a feeling that maybe Skate might return for 2019, 2020, for this new generation, man. I think that's possible, man. It's possible. You think not, guys, or no?
It's very possible. It's gone away for enough amount of time that I can see them trying it again. I will add on to what you just said, and I also expect to see an Unravel 2 being shown off, possibly coming this year, maybe early next year.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, they probably will show some indie games, right? That's part of the EA program and everything. So I can see Unravel 2. That was a great game. The last one was really good.
It was fantastic.
Really good. Really good. Now, is it possible for EA to also announce a new Burnout game? Instead of showing Need for Speed, they'll show like a new Burnout game? They just released a remastered version.
I'm going to say no, because if they do a Burnout style game, it's going to have the Need for Speed branding. I don't think they're going to go back to the Burnout quote unquote IP or name or whatever. I mean, it was a Criterion or whatever. They're the ones that make Need for Speed. I don't think they go back to that, in my opinion. I think there'll be a game in the spirit of Burnout. I 100% could see that, because they got to do something with the Need for Speed franchise to differentiate it from, what Forza and Gran Turismo is doing. So I could see them doing something like that, but I don't think they'll go back to that name. That would be my guess on that.
Okay. Those are my two predictions, but yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to add one more to this. I think they're going to capitalize on the popularity of, I don't know if we'll see a Battle Royale version of it, but I think they're going to give us a third version of Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 3.
That was a pretty big game, the last one.
I know it's cliche, but I think we're going to see a Battle Royale version of it.
No.
I think we'll see the regular, the PvZ, but we'll see the PvZ with now adding the Battle Royale mode. Sorry,
I do not deny that could potentially happen. That's not why I paused. My only question to that is, PopCap, now EA Seattle, whatever they're called, I wonder if EA would invest the money into creating that versus keeping them basically in the free-to-play model with what they're doing on the mobile space, because that kind of seems... They obviously took a risk with Garden Warfare and I guess in part 2 or whatever. I don't think it sold as well as they hoped. I don't know if they'd go back to it a third time, even if they changed it to a Battle Royale mode, which what you're saying, Pete, it is tailor made to be that. Absolutely. I don't deny that at all. I just wonder if EA makes the investment to do it. But with all that said, I would lean more towards you're right than wrong, because like we said, everybody's going to do a damn Battle Royale mode, so why not do one with Plants vs. Zombies?
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's something that is not to downplay the difficulty in making a video game, but it's it's not as resource intensive as a, like a PUBG or something like that. It's, you know, it's playing off of the cartoony slash casual audience, gives them something. It doesn't have to be 100 people. It could be something much smaller, you know, 25v25 or, you know, 40v40 or something like that. It just doesn't have to be as convoluted as a regular, you know, battle royale.
And also, I know we mentioned a lot of games that we already know and old games that might be bring back, but I think that EA will also show some new IPs. Maybe as a tease for like next year or 2020. I could see that during EA Play as an experiment. Maybe it will be a big hit. Maybe it will be a huge flop, but they are going to announce something that is new that we've never seen before or heard before. That's what I think. Any other predictions from EA Play?
I think that's about it for me.
Okay. Pete?
Yeah, I'm trying to, but I don't think I have anything else. I think that Plants vs. Zombies is probably... I don't know. I'm like 60-40 that I think we're going to see it. Yeah, and as I put more thought towards it, it might increase on that, but I think it's a possibility, and it's an absolute no-brainer, just from a casual perspective, you know, because it's, you know, it's not the blood and gore that people, the parents would be concerned about, but it'd be something fun and easy to jump into, you know, running around with sunflower shooting peas or whatever. I don't know. It sounds like a fun concept.
You know what? And I will take it to this level. I think that game might be free if they announce that instead of charging $30.
This is EA we're talking about. Come on. Come on.
But hey, if Epic is making so much money with their free game, I think that's possible, man. Have this game for free. If not, then I don't know. Charge $30 then, I guess. All right. So we have fan mail questions here. So you guys ready? Fan mail or what?
Let's do it.
Yep. Let's do it. It's time for fan mail. All right. So should we start with a voicemail or an email? Pete, you're the one in charge of this. What would you like to do?
Let me see. We can do.
I'm going to read an email. I'm going to read this email because right. I can answer this one. So.
All right. Go for it.
This one is titled "What Would Paris Do?" And he goes, "Hey guys, I'm in a first world gaming problem and hoping for your advice. I've never been into RPGs, so after about 3 restarts, I'm finally getting into The Witcher 3, reaching level 18, so maybe about halfway-ish, yes. And I'm loving the game. My problem is that a few days ago, I was able to pick up God of War, and I've been hearing about how great the game is. Would you guys suggest taking a break from The Witcher and play God of War or wait until I finish The Witcher? Nope. To play it. I would get a couple hours here and there to play video games, so I'm afraid that in stopping The Witcher, I may not be able to get back into it. Please help with this ridiculous dilemma. Thanks a lot and keep up the great work. Love the show. Matthew." Thank you for the email. So here's my suggestion. I actually replied to him and said this. And I told him, I've done 3 full clears of The Witcher. And I've done one that was everything, all the DLC that's come out, expansions, everything. It's an investment versus just a game like God of War. You could literally sit down, like he said, he had a couple hours a night to play. You could probably sit down every night over a 7-day period and knock that game, and maybe longer. So maybe like a 2-week period where you could just sit down a couple hours a night. And you can knock that game out, right? Do that. Experience God of War. It's 100% worth it. It's a fantastic game. I highly suggest you do that. Come back to The Witcher. The Witcher is not something, sure, you can sit there and just play it straight for 200, maybe even 300 hours and get through it. But to me, it's something I'll play for a while. I'll go play something else. I'll come back to. It's my escape game. I go into that world and I escape into it. It's a completely different experience from anything else that I'm currently playing right now. So I would look at it as a long-term investment to play, and you'll feel better about it by taking your time, just embracing the world, doing all the little things that you can do in there. I highly suggest go watch some YouTube videos on on resource planning and just the way that you can use just some of your different weapons and the magic and the alchemy and everything. Actually understand and don't, you don't necessarily play it on the hardest setting, but play it on the next to hardest setting where it's going to force you to manage all your resources, because to me that's the best way to play this game, where you'll truly appreciate it and understand it. And like I said, don't expect to beat it anytime soon. If you're starting it right now, if you play it from start to finish with all the DLC, with the limited amount of time that you have, plus the other games that you're going to play along the way, you'll be playing The Witcher 3 well into 2019. You will. And you'll still come back to it and you'll still love it and you'll still appreciate it, because I will say without a doubt, there's nothing that comes close to this for this gaming generation for me. Nothing. Not Destiny, not God of War, not Mario, Zelda, nothing. This is the best open world RPG I've ever played in my life. And there probably won't be anything that tops until Cyberpunk comes out. So there you go. I'm done. Ran over.
All right. There you go. All right. So should we play a voicemail then now?
We can definitely do that. All right. Let me go.
Let's do it.
Play this first one.
Hello. This is Garth Wolf calling from Columbus, Ohio. I just wanted to ask you guys, is there any plans to bring Mandy back to the show? Or Lady Luck, I know she used to go by that. I've been listening to the show for a few years now, and I remember I used to enjoy hearing her perspective on any gaming news bits that came out. She seemed to be pretty passionate, and it was cool to have a female point of view on the show. Just let me know. And I enjoy what you guys do. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much for the call. As much as we would love... Well, some of us would love to have Mandy back. so unfortunately, hold on, Danny. Okay. Hold on, Danny. Chill. Okay. You know, she has moved on. She is she has moved on from a professional perspective.
As Charlie Murphy would say, wrong. Go ahead, Danny.
She might come back as a guest, but because of her position in the industry now, it would have to be something. We would have to completely make sure that there's nothing that would cause a conflict of interest or anything with her job. But I mean, I was just playing last night with her on PUBG with a couple of friends. So, I mean, I talk to her on a regular basis, as do Danny and Paris. So it's, you know, that's like our little sister. And, you know, there are times where, you know, yeah, I do kind of miss her zany personality on the show and her crunching through Milano's while recording. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen in the future. But yeah.
Well, I was going to answer that question, but we are going to have Mandy on this week's episode later this week.
Oh?
Yeah, because, you know, PM Paris is not going to be joining me, so I didn't want to record alone. So I invited Mandy, and Mandy is down to record. So we're going to there's no live stream this week on Wednesday. So I'm going to record an episode with her, and I'm going to release it either Wednesday night or Thursday. It will come out. So plus, I have also an interview planned for that podcast episode. So stay tuned for that.
Well, there you go.
That's it. Just wanted to say that.
There you go.
All right. Next voicemail.
What's up, Paris, Pete, and Danny? Just a quick question. It's Keith from Chicago. I had recently subscribed for the Game Pass, and I was kind of curious why the Master Chief Collection wasn't on there, any of the Forzas. I know that they said that they're trying to get their first-party games or their console exclusives on there. I was just wondering if you guys had any... intel on maybe that they're going to add them in the future, like they're adding State of Decay 2, or what was going on with that. Thank you.
What do you think, Danny, Paris?
I can partially answer this question. Master Chief Collection, once it gets fixed, because I'm pretty sure they talked about this in their actual blog post on Halo.com, but once Master Chief Collection is in the state to where 343 is happy with it, it's going to be on Game Pass. Pretty sure that's where they said it, but I know I've seen that. So that's going to come, and it just makes a lot of sense. Why not? As far as the Forza stuff goes, I mean, obviously, whatever Forza Horizon 4, I guess is what it's going to be called, whatever that is this year, that'll be on Game Pass. Anything moving forward will be. I don't know if they're going to go back and add like Forza 7 or Horizon 3 or anything like that on there. But moving forward, the Forza games will be on there. And that's where you got kind of have to look at it with Game Pass. Sure, they're going to retrofit some things back in, but everything moving forward will be on there. So that's where you're getting your value for, is on future content, not necessarily on the past content. But, you know, now that I have Game Pass and I've been able to look at it, I mean, I think they have a decent amount of stuff that's available on there right now. That it's worth the investment of $10 a month if you're into the Microsoft and the Xbox ecosystem. And, you know, like he's saying, State of Decay 2 is about to hit. We know whenever Crackdown 3 comes out in 2027, that'll be on there. Obviously, any future Gears games, Halo games, you know, fingers crossed, Banjo-Kazooie, Perfect Dark, things like that. All those games are going to be on there. Anything that comes out of Microsoft's game studios will be on Game Pass. And then anything that, you know, deals that they can work out with third-party publishers will be on there as well, which I know we haven't gotten to Microsoft yet, but just when we get there, I have a Miss Leo for that. I'll leave it at that. But that's all I know.
I think that they are going to go all out during their press conference and announce a lot of games that it's going to be available on Game Pass. So I think during E3, they're going to make those announcements about Halo, Forza, maybe all their old games and, you know, the original Xbox, Xbox 360. They're going to have a big announcement, I think, during E3. And honestly, that's like the best time for them to make the announcement, so more people could sign up, and plus add the new games there too, in Game Pass, and just pay $9.99 every month, and you get all that stuff, man. So and you know right now, adding Halo Master Chief Collection, I think, is a bad time because they need to fix that game first in order to have that. So Microsoft will announce a new Halo game, and they'll also say, yeah, if you want, you could also play the previous games. Boom. They'll have it available there, too.
So. I don't even think I don't think Halo reaches on Game Pass, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, so...
But it could easily add it.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I don't even know if there's any other of the Halo games that are on the Game Pass service. So, obviously, Master Chief Collection would be the ideal one. Wasn't there like a tweet or something from Xbox last month? Was like just say when or something like that with a hashtag Xbox Game Pass with a couple of images, but then it was deleted off of Twitter after a bunch of major outlets reported that it looked like it was potentially coming. I don't know. Like Paris says, there's a possibility that it will show up. When and where, I don't know, maybe that'll be their announcement at E3. Hey, Master Chief Collection coming to Game Pass now.
Yeah, because I went and looked it up. Like, I'm just looking at Game Rant. They had an article 3 weeks ago talking about this, that the Xbox Twitter account teased that the Master Chief Collection is coming to Game Pass.
Yep.
It was featured on an ad.
But if you try to follow that Twitter link, it's dead. It doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Because I think it probably, but that's my point. It probably shouldn't have been there when it came out, but that's just letting you know it's going to come. It just makes sense.
Just a matter of time.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah, just a matter of time.
Yep. Why ignore your biggest franchise on the big subscription service you're pushing if it's not going to come out there? It just doesn't, it's a no-brainer. It's, again, I think it's going to be teased or at least announced at E3. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
I think that every time Microsoft will announce a game, let's just make believe. Hey, Fable, new Fable, right?
What if
they will have the older games available on the Game Pass? If they announce Halo, they will have it available on Game Pass, the older games. Gears of War, same thing. That's what I see, because Microsoft really going to push Game Pass during E3. They're going to push this like all the way. And now it's a big game, a brand new IP or something. Not a new IP, a new game from a big IP of theirs, and then have the older games available on that day on Game Pass.
Yep.
That's how I see it. All right, another voicemail.
Yep, got one last one. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Brad, a.k.a. BigGamer90. Just wanted to reply to the discussion you had on Pactor's comments, and I'll try to make this as short as I can since you guys roasted me the last time. I think what we need to understand is that he's speaking from the perspective of an average show gamer and not someone that's into gaming as much as we are. Previously, exclusives were the biggest budget AAA games, but I would say that during the 360 gen, those games became both first-party exclusive and third-party multi-platform. And at this point, people are simply buying consoles to play good, popular games, period, and to do so on a consistent basis without large Wii-like gaps. I honestly feel that the PS4 would still be doing very well if it didn't have any exclusives, simply due to the branding, PR, and pricing, thus making it a more attractive console for people worldwide to play games like FIFA or Call of Duty. You mentioned the Switch, and I feel that the Switch is selling hotcakes more so due to its design than it having exclusive games. I say this since I love my Switch, but the majority of games on the Switch are Wii U ports or ports of games that are on the PS4. These games are making people excited on that platform, though, since they can play these games on the go, as well as continue on getting new Nintendo content. The excitement for the Switch wouldn't be there, I think, if it were just a regular Nintendo box that you plug into a TV and nothing more. So exclusives still matter. They are still great to have in terms of giving a console a PR boost and filling in gaps when there aren't many AAA third-party titles. I agree with Pactor, though, that they aren't as important as they were, say, 15-plus years ago, and that multiplats and ecosystem traits or features have become just as important, if not more important. So that's how I feel. Keep on doing the good work, guys, and congrats on a new job, Paris.
Yep, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I don't know. I still disagree with Pactor thinking that first-party exclusives are going to go the way of the Dodo. I still think that they're important for the first parties, you know, the Sony, Xbox, and Nintendo Switches of the world. They need them as an encouragement for consumers to buy into their ecosystem. I mean, you look at the stable of games for the Switch and for PlayStation, at least in this generation, and they're by and far one and two, if you think about them in the big three. Right. I think from a stable of games, those two are leading the pack. Xbox still has a way to go. But them having Play Anywhere and now Games Pass, I think that's a good opportunity for them to move forward. But again, I still think inventory is going to push a big push. There's still those timed exclusive deals that, you know, that publishers do with the developers and stuff like that. But I think consoles and their ease of entry, because PC buying is expensive and the technical aspect sometimes can be a chore as well. I think first party exclusives, especially for consoles, has a place in the industry, and I don't think they're going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I totally agree with Pete. I think that exclusives is very important. Look, we just started the show with God of War selling so many copies the first 3 days. So it is important. You know, yeah, I think time exclusives, you know, for certain things, yeah, that also works, you know, because when you, like the average person, when they see a commercial on TV, let's say Destiny, and they have, the PlayStation logo at the end of the commercial, you know, automatically they will think, oh man, this is for PlayStation. So they'll go and buy that game. So that also works when it comes to like exclusive marketing deals, that works big time, you know, but overall, first-party exclusives, that's super important. Super important. You can't just depend on just third-party content. You need something. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's literally why Microsoft is in the situation they're in right now, because they don't have the robust exclusive lineup. And again, we've been praising God of War this entire show. It's a crown jewel example of why exclusives can matter. That game will sell PlayStation 4s. It just will, because people will hear about it and they go, if I don't have a PlayStation, I want to go play this game. They'll go get a PlayStation to play it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I agree. All right. Anything else? We're good.
I'm all out of voicemails.
Okay. Well, I just want to mention this very quick. We just opened the Gamertag Radio store. So you could go right now to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. And right now we have a couple of designs. We're planning to add some cool ones in the future. You know, What If, Let Me Dream, all that good stuff. Maybe we'll create a new one for Paris, the tank top one. Not to wear this during E3, something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just me playing.
Well, you know, I want to backtrack. Good. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I really didn't. But there was one more email I did want to read.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Sorry about that. So let's backtrack just a second, because it goes along with the topic we've been talking about. So this is from Mason, and he is saying, what's up, GTR crew? My name is Mason from Tacoma, Washington. I will be graduating college with a degree in welding technology in about a month or so. Congratulations. And I wanted to upgrade my gaming setup to a 4K experience. I've been an Xbox gamer my whole life, and I currently have an OG Xbox One. Should I upgrade to a PS4 Pro with exclusives such as God of War and Spider-Man, or keep with my brand of Xbox along with my friends for future social titles like Anthem or Sea of Thieves? Thanks for the show. Keep it up. Make my work days better. Well, again, thank you for the email. I want to read this because I thought it was interesting. So it sounds like if he upgrades, he can't do both, because my default answer would be get an Xbox One X and get a PS4 Pro and profit, because now you have 4K on both and you can experience all the exclusive games on PlayStation and you can still play with all your friends on Xbox. So it sounds like he's almost asking us if he should choose. Here's my default answer. If it comes down to a choice, you can only pick one, and playing with your friends is super important to you, because it sounds like it is with things like Anthem and all that, stick with the Xbox. Don't go PlayStation if you can only choose one. But the flip side of that is, yeah, you are going to miss out on titles like God of War and Spider-Man. So you have to look at it that way, because sure, you go play Spider-Man and God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn and all that stuff, but now you're not playing with your buddies. Or I guess the compromise in this could be keep your original Xbox for playing with your buddies, but you just won't do it in 4K. I know that that's a tough thing. Basically what I'm saying, option A is get them both. Option B, get the Xbox One X, miss out on PlayStation. Or option C, no 4K on Xbox, keep your OG Xbox and go get a PS4 Pro and maybe make some new friends on PlayStation. That would be what I have to say.
I will add to that, that don't buy anything just yet. Wait until E3. Wait and see their press conferences from Microsoft and Sony. You know, because you never know. Maybe Sony will announce a cheaper console. You never know. Or same thing with Microsoft. Maybe they'll have like some big announcements of new games and stuff. So just wait until E3, and I think based on that, then go and buy the console or upgrade it, whatever you want. But just wait. I think that's the right time for us to know more of what's coming in the future for both consoles. And just check out the press conference and decide from there, man. You know, but I think at the end of the day, in my opinion, I love playing with my friends. So I will stick with just that console. And I think that was a situation that we talked about years ago with last year. With P in Paris, this is during the whole Destiny 2 that was coming, right? And it also was going to be available for the PC. So, yeah, it looks better on a PC, but what about your friends? And I said stick with playing with your friends. So stay with the PlayStation, right? Because all your friends are there. So, but yeah, P, you want to add anything to that?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, it's subjective. It's whatever you want to play with. I mean, I know for a long time I stuck to playing with my Xbox One because I have a contingent of friends that are there that I play with. You know, there's people that I'm now my puppy. There's people now that I play with on PlayStation 4, and obviously I've got our, you know, contingent of people that I play PC with, especially from our Discord community. So again, Go where you feel more comfortable. Go where you feel you're going to have the most fun. Or if you want to start something fresh and new, do what Paris did a couple of years ago and, you know, sell your Xbox, go PlayStation. But again, it's all your choice. And that's the beauty of the gaming industry and choosing your platform. It's your platform. It's your decisions, your choice. You know, if there's people that you want to go play with on Xbox, go play on Xbox. If you want to go PC and use PC and go play anywhere, you can play with both. But again, just go where you're going to have the most fun. I think that's the most important thing.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for sending us questions. Keep it up. Send us questions, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You can do this from your PC or from your phone and so on. And go to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, Audio Boom. You can find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. And remember, the brand new Gamertag Radio store just opened a couple days ago. Thanks for those that have been buying the t-shirts. Right now, we have a couple designs. Not much, but we're planning to add more designs, more cool stuff. We're going to have posters, mugs, stickers, hoodies, t-shirts, all type of stuff, man. So make sure to go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. And I believe Pete also posted this in our Discord server. He said that we're planning to have like a contest, right, Pete?
I wouldn't go so far as a contest, but I mean, we're taking submissions from content creators and creatives. Mm-hmm. You know, submit them. Who knows? Maybe your design will get added to the Gamertag Radio store. You're curious, 'cause I think it's our fans and our listeners that probably would know what other community members want best, or what I think. I mean, there's a couple of catchphrases, obviously, you know, exclusive, what if, maybe even get like a Miss Leo shirt or something like that, yeah, with right? Paris's face or something. I think that'd be great. But I mean, you know,
I like the tank top one. I'm telling you, I have to look for that quote. Paris don't wear tank tops at E3, something like that.
It's unprofessional. And then just have Paris in a tank top.
that's my all-time favorite moment from Paris. Yo. Yeah, crazy. But yeah, I mean, look, you guys come up with a design or request, and we'll try our best to do it, man. And at the same time, it'll help us, you know, to invest more in the show and other things, you know, with trips and audio equipment and all that. So it will help us out big time, man. So
we had one more news topic.
Breaking news?
Yeah, well, I sent it to you this morning. You obviously ignored it. So I'm going to just say it right now. So,
okay, yeah.
Campo Santo, I always want to call him Camp Santo, but Campo Santo, they're the makers of Firewatch. Very underrated game. If you've not played it, I highly suggest you go pick it up on your platform of choice. It's a really good game. They're joining Valve. Valve has basically acquired them. They have a whole blog post up on their website, blog.camposanto.com, but talking about it, that basically they've obviously been a huge fan of Valve over the years, and just through discussions, Valve basically offered them to join Valve and to continue making their current game in the Valley of Gods, which will now be a Valve published game. So the point I'm bringing up on this is, you know, props to them, great for them, because like I said, Firewatch was fantastic. Now they get the financial backing of a Valve to finish their next game, which, again, if you go watch the videos on it and see the preview they've done, looks fantastic. It has a kind of a Raiders of the Lost Ark feel to it. This is big in the sense that Valve has talked about getting back into making games and publishing games. And for them to acquire a studio like this to be on the forefront of that, I'm not saying this is Half-Life 3 or anything like that, but Valve making games is a good thing for the industry. Look, we know they make hand over fist with Dota and Counter-Strike and all that stuff, but I want to see them get back into the game making business. I dearly miss Portal. I would love to see more adventures on the Portal universe. I want to see more things with Left 4 Dead. I want to see them do, which now this In Valley of the Gods will be a new IP for them. I want to see stuff like that coming from Valve, because again, competition just makes everyone better. And Valve has been sorely missed the past, I don't know, when did Portal come out? Portal 2. God, it's been 10 years now, something like that. So I want to see new stuff from them. So just wanted to point that one out, because I saw that yesterday. And props to Campo Santo for joining Valve, and props for Valve for seeing that they're needed in this space for making games. So glad to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to them, and try out Firewatch. If you never played it, try it out. I know it's available on consoles and Steam. And I believe it's also coming out pretty soon for the Nintendo Switch. Firewatch, great game. Great game. All right. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you everyone for downloading the episode 759. Remember, later this week, I'm going to have also Mandy here, and also a special guest. Don't want to say who it is just yet, about a brand new project and stuff. So we're going to talk about that later this week. And coming soon, live from LA, we're going to be there. I'm going to be there with Paris. We're going to check out Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Let's see what happens with this community reveal event. And yeah, we'll go from there, man. So thanks, everyone. And
I got one more thing. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
One more.
What?
One more. Paris, today, Sunday, May 6th, 2018, at 11:30 a.m., Jay and I will be recording a spoiler-filled podcast of Remember When live on Twitch for Infinity War. We're gonna that's all we're gonna talk about is Infinity War, full of spoilers. Yes. So if you're here live in the Twitch chat, 11:30 a.m. Pacific, come back here. Jay and I will be on here. We will be talking all Infinity War. And for everyone listening on the audio podcast, Remember When, that audio version will be out at some point next week as well. So just want to point that out. I'm excited to talk about this movie. I've probably seen it about 5 times at this point. It's time.
All right. Can I officially stop?
Wait, I got one more thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. All right. I'm going to say it. Until next time. We're out. Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.